The South Panthers have jumped in, Joe, to another sectional championship. They did so in the lovely St. Leon as they beat city rivals North on Friday night and Shelbyville on Saturday night. Geez, I've gotten lost now. The winning streak is out to 15. That's two sectional championships. Well, I'll let you handle this. This is your gig. It's a Monday morning. Then the Panthers are champions again.
Well, the streak continues, now numbering 16, as they head to the Seymour Regional on Saturday. Coach J.R. Holmes and the 10th-ranked South Panthers taking care of business at East Central over the weekend and bringing home the 19th sectional crown, won Saturday night over Shelbyville 58-47. It was the 17th sectional for the Hall of Fame coach and the school's 19th as Bloomington South. The Southsiders now eyes set on its rematch with top-ranked New Albany in the first semifinal game. 10 o'clock Saturday morning in Seymour, the two met in late November, South's second game of the season, and the Panthers lost 72-68. New Albany since has won 20 straight. They've been top-ranked all season long in what is now a 23-1 season. South, with its winning streak now to 16, stands 21-4, a very tasty 10 o'clock semifinal at Barney Scott Gym in Seymour on Saturday. Panthers allowed Bloomington North and Shelbyville only 84 points in the two wins in St. Leon, holding the Cougars of Andy Hodson to two second-half field goals on Friday night and the 9.3-point shooting of senior reserve guard Ben Chastain. Did that thrilling 40-37 come from behind win over the Cougs, who played an excellent first half, leading by 8 at halftime, shooting 73%, but South clamped down, and they owned the defensive end and then really continued its solid play Saturday night, separating themselves in the third quarter as they held the Golden Bears to just 6 points, getting an 8-point effort on the night from sophomore Phil King and an excellent floor game from senior veteran Tucker Blackwell, who scored 11 points but had 7 steals, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds in that 11-point sectional championship win. We glance now at the Seymour 2016 regional foursome, and it's the exact same four teams we had a year ago. You know, South went in last year 21-2 and had a 19-game winning streak, only to lose to Franklin Central 52-50 in the morning game. Well, Franklin Central this year plays 4A state runner-up Evansville Wrights in game 2 at noon on Saturday this year. Wrights is the defending regional champion, and our coverage will all start at 9:30 Saturday morning with Chalk Talk and JR. Edgewood's run to its sectional title came to an end over in Brown County Saturday night as Northview won 78-70, the title game there despite a career night from Cooper Bybee, who threw in 28. Dave Mahurin's Mustangs ended its three-game losing streak against Brown County on Friday night, 67-60, but they couldn't beat the Knights for a fourth time this season as Northview shot 52%, had 5 in double figures, and now move on to the Greencastle Regional. Edgewood ended up 18-9, those 18 wins, the best in 8 years. Meanwhile, at the Columbus East Girls Gymnastics Regional, North senior Claire Finn just missed out advancing to state on floor, winding up 8th overall with a 9.2 score and a tough luck ending for South junior Kelsey Shermer, who had falls in both of her events and placed 23rd on beam and 25th on floor. We'll have the morning after a great seniors wrap-up to the goings-on on the McCracken court last night, all of the IU beat as well, plus in the zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls coming up tonight at 6.
Yep, Joe, great stuff there. So another early morning on Saturday, so that'll shake us up, get our coffee ready to go. We don't do a lot of basketball morning, so that'll be new for us.
You know, it's kind of interesting, though. We've been doing that for, I can't recall in recent memory doing the noon game maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but we were there last year in the morning game.
The bird, early bird, yeah.
Year before with Andy Hodson in the morning game and the Cougars. So we
one time a year.
Kind of used to it, so.
And, again, a busy, busy regional, but that's what you get when you get to regionals. It should be stacked up and ready to go. Hoosiers looked great yesterday. Yeah. They wrap up the season unbeaten at home. Maryland falls, I believe, and it's 0-20 now against ranked teams on the road, and you can see why. Indiana put it to them late in the first half. They didn't have much of an answer, Joe. They were a little I don't want to say disorganized, but I think disorganized is exactly the word I'm looking for.
Well, that's a good word, because they were disorganized because they couldn't score. And they went on two droughts, both equal time almost, into the first, into the ball game.
Joe, they had as many shot clock violations in the game as free throw attempts.
Yeah, yeah.
And for a team that needed to win and get some momentum going, or carry some momentum, and it's fine and good to beat Illinois at home, but again, Indiana takes care of business. Yep. Maryland had a big win early in the week beating Illinois at home. That's where I was going with that.
Sure.
And the Terrapins just, they don't take it on the road. I don't know else how you want to explain it. And Indiana made for easy pickings there in the second half. I don't think the lead ever got under eight, did it?
It got nine in the second half.
That's
twice.
It. Nine. And again, you don't make a run. Hoosiers on senior day. Fun stuff to watch the kids give their thanks. And it's fun to see their personality, Joe, when they have to stand up there in front of 16,000 people with the microphone in their hand. But a great job on that. And the links are all up on our Facebook page.
Great.
So if folks didn't get a chance to see them, they can go there, or iuhoosiers.com, and you can see all the individual speeches.
That's
fun
great.
Stuff. Adam Scott. Cheats. Well, he's won for the second week in a row, Joe, and hit an unbelievably bad shot into 18, but didn't care as he chipped up, made his seven-footer to win 2 weeks in a row. Won Honda last week, wins World Golf Cadillac Championships. Bubba Watson
What's
second.
What's the last time that's happened, Glass?
Back-to-back events would be Billy Horschel, BMW Championship in 2014, followed by the Tour Championship the following week. Jason Day last year won the PGA, didn't play the following week, and then won his next start.
That's right.
When he was sick at the Barclays.
That's
so
right.
It's, and then before that was McIlroy won at the Bridgestone, then won the PGA.
So it doesn't happen that often.
No, and it's big time guys that do it. So we'll just throw Adam Scott into that. 13 wins on tour, the most for a sub 40-year-old currently playing. So he's class, and he's playing in great, and so is Bubba Watson, and so is McIlroy, so not a huge surprise in any of that. We'll get wrapped up with Pacers play tonight, host San Antonio, so that's not an easy one, and we'll do all the IU stuff coming back at 8:45.
Be here. Looking forward to it.
Joe Smith time here at WGCL, 8:46. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Back again. Sun trying to come out. You got a great forecast all week. Margaret's got her granddaughter in town. Wow.
It's
everything's
been
good.
Yeah. It doesn't get much better, does it?
For a Monday.
Big Ten champs.
Nets come down. Senior
March
speeches.
Madness.
March Madness.
South sectional. You know.
We're rolling.
Regional.
It's a busy, busy Monday morning, and we'll start with the Candy Stripers, Joe. 15-3, the best record in some time. I know you'll cue me into that. And the Nets came down yesterday. The senior speeches went up. Hugs and applause and everything else. And, oh, by the way, they routed Maryland 80-62.
Well, I tell you, Coach Tom told us back in Iowa City after Indiana clinched the outright Big Ten championship on Tuesday night, there was more to get. Well, there certainly was, and the to get was a perfect 17-0 slate on the McCracken court, which was achieved. And I tell you, Seniors Day Sunday couldn't have been more perfect than the fitting 80-62 thumping of 12th-ranked Maryland. It was Maryland's worst loss of the year, and a perfect 17-0 season at home on the McCracken court. It's 15-3 season, by the way. That finish as regular season Big Ten champions, its best league mark in 23 years. 25-6 now overall, headed to Indianapolis on Friday for the Big Ten tourney. Hoosiers shot 51%, turned it over only three times in the second half, and wound up with 20 points off of 14 Maryland turnovers yesterday. Yogi Ferrell in his final game in the Assembly Hall, 17 points. Troy Williams, well, he scored 10 of Indiana's first 14 points in the second half after ending the first half on that three-point bomb that gave Indiana a 13-point lead. He wound up with 23 on the night, tying a career high, along with two blocks, five rebounds, and an assist as the Hoosiers go in with the one seed Friday. They'll play at noon at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Quarterfinal action against either Northwestern or Michigan. Those two will play at Thursday at noon in Indianapolis. By the way, the Hoosiers won by 32 at home over Northwestern. They beat Michigan to start February, if you recall, up in Ann Arbor by 13. And I might add that Michigan and Northwestern played only one time this year, and Michigan beat the Wildcats by 9. Up in Ann Arbor in February. The Hoosiers on a 5-game winning streak headed to Indy, and 3 of those wins recently against ranked opponents Iowa, Purdue, and Maryland. Well, former North Cougar Colby Stratton scored the game winner on the bottom of the 9th inning down in Port Charlotte, Florida yesterday. Chris Lemonis's crew ended up winning 2 of 3 down on the weekend, beating Butler 2-1. They open at home. Yeah, the BART will swing the gates open on Friday. A 3-game weekend series with Western Carolina. Mentioning diamond action, Michelle Gardner's softballers were 3-1 down at Auburn over the weekend, and they stand 11-7, and they'll be opening up the Indiana Classic at Andy Moore Field this weekend. Yesterday, Sarah Galovich scored the game winner, a walk-off a single as Indiana beat Murray State 1-0. Josie Wood, going to be interested to see this young freshman pitch. She had her third complete game shutout, a 3-hitter complete with 7 strikeouts. And again, Indiana will have a midweek game against 17th-ranked Kentucky down in Lexington, and then come home and open it up for the spring at Andy Moore this weekend. Elsewhere in wrestling, the Big Ten Championship won by Penn State out in Iowa City over the weekend. Dwayne Goldman's wrestlers finished 11th. They had a couple of podium finishes. Elijah Oliver, the outstanding freshman, finished 5th at 125, 31-8 now. Nate Jackson, 174 pounds, was 4th, and both of those guys will be headed to the NCAA Championships March the 18th. They'll be on the big stage at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Meanwhile, the weekend couldn't have been any better for Barry King's water polo queens. They swept through the Hartford Invitational, the 19th-ranked women, on a 6-game winning streak. They're 9-4 now. They beat Iona, Wagner, and Siena on Sunday, 13-5, behind Sarah Myers, a 3-goal hat trick. Earlier in the weekend, Candace Schroeder was red hot. She scored 7 goals. Women's tennis, Lynn Loring's crew, they split over the weekend at the Tennis Center, lost to Old Dominion 4-3, but beat Southern Illinois 5-2. Lynn's crew, 10-4, they'll open up the Big Ten at home on Saturday against Iowa. And also, Jeremy Wertzman's men are 4-8. They open the Big Ten on Wednesday night over at Purdue, as they had one match over the weekend and lost 6-1 the final there. Don't forget In the Zone, Dave and Glass, to continue a busy weekend, get you set for a lot of things here as we move through the early part of March. 6 o'clock tonight and your phone calls.
And next week, Joe, on Wednesday, we'll have an extended In the Zone, so we'll talk about that tonight as well. A little tournament pre-special, so we'll see where the Hoosiers are, where they're going, and we'll give you a big show coming up a week from Wednesday to do that. I'll get you all the details on that. We have breaking news from Champaign Urbana, the brand-new athletics director at Illinois, who fired Bill Cubitt on Saturday, has announced, Josh Whitman is his name, that Lovie Smith will be named as Illinois' football coach. That press release came out 5 minutes ago. So the Illini, that was the worst-kept secret of the weekend, that that was going to be
right.
The hire. Well, his first day on the job was Saturday, and by noon he had fired his head football coach and his son and decided he's going to keep John Gross, and he had to have somebody in his back pocket. So there's a quick update on all of that. So
welcome Lovie Smith to the Big Ten coaching fraternity.
There you go. His last time he was in college, Joe, Ohio State defensive backs coach in 1995. That'll win you a bar bet this week. But the Hoosiers, let's stay here in Indiana, Joe, and Illinois' Assembly Hall is no longer because they had a big capital campaign to redo and rename that. Well, we're going to do that, plus the South End Zone, plus volleyball and wrestling, plus. Big announcement yesterday, Fred Glass making $170 million privately raised, going to the athletics department.
Yeah, you know, Glass, we've been receiving this information piecemeal for months, either from Chuck Crabb on Fridays on the Big Show, and of course on Behind the Scenes. And Fred pretty much laid it out to us, audio-wise, late last fall and even back in January about this mammoth $170 million project you're talking about. And we might make mention that already $124 million has been raised. And that is going to include the South End Zone enclosure and, of course, that new indoor arena for wrestling and volleyball. We go months back when Fred was talking about that at Yogi's. That's going to be located right there at the corner of 17th and Fee, the new volleyball and wrestling arena, going to seat about 3,000 or so. But anyway, that south football enclosure will include a new medical, the new home for the medical staff, new sports nutrition department, and upgrading of the locker rooms. Kevin Wilson's talked to us about that. But this will all start after this next football season, and then hopefully will be completed by 2018. And then the Cuban Center will actually wrap around the West Concourse at the renovated, under construction, Simon Scott Assembly Hall, and that's going to be completed sometime in October. And then that being said, also in the works, planned, is a brand-new golf course. They're still looking for the lead gift there. That's going to be about $11 million. So that was a lot to digest, but Michael McRobbie and gave the gave Fred Glass the okay through the Board of Trustees. Both guys appeared about 2 hours before tip time yesterday afternoon late at Cook Hall. So the ball is rolling right there.